This is the message from Connection Community Church for Easter Sunday, April 20th, 2025. Enough. Jesus is enough.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, CCC. Here in the sanctuary, they're at home all over the world. Hallelujah. That's what Christ followers say on Easter morning. Hallelujah. It means praise the Lord, and it's especially significant this morning, Easter Sunday, as we praise the risen Christ. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Well, good morning, Connection Church. My name is Carrie Jones.
I'm Alan Jones.
And we are two sinners who've been saved by the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thanks so much for being here today. Hey, everybody online. Good to see you too. We are one church, many locations. I've been feeling a little nostalgic today, and I thought, oh, am I going to be okay? And I was until Bonnie said something, but that's okay.
Thanks, Bonnie.
I've been doing some clean out in my office, and I found our very first Easter service. So Alan and I bought the paper, and it had clouds on it.
I see that.
And
because it was on a black and white printer that we had at home.
Yeah, we didn't have Barry. We didn't have any staff. It was just us. And we printed this on our little home printer. And the little announcements are here. And it said, starting next week, this was March 31st. It says, beginning April 21st, we're going to two services. So that was pretty exciting. And, Lots of good memories.
We ended up going to three eventually.
We did. We had our first service at the fire hall. For those of you who may not know, we were located in a refurbed warehouse that we did for the first 18 years over on Green Street until we were able to give glory to God and raise enough money to build this. And he gets all the glory for that. I'm just wondering, who is here who was at that very first Easter Sunday service? I know you were. The Lairds, Jane James, Dot. Who's over here? Who did I see? I saw Frank back there with his hand up. Murray's back there. I don't know who else is back there. Look how we've grown. It's pretty good. It's awesome. Anyway, we ready to do this, our last Easter service? Come on.
Ready to go.
Don't leave me hanging here.
I thought you were punching me. I didn't know you were looking for enough.
I just have to say, though, next year, Reverend David Laser, we prayed for him. We prayed that he would be the one. We prayed for 4 months. And then he calls us one day and says, I'm feeling this thing. Like, I need to call you about moving here. I'm like, yeah, it took 4 months of daily prayer, but God answered. So y'all are going to be in good hands, and we'll be sitting with you. So let's go ahead and pray. Almighty God, we thank you for today. It's a day that you've made, a day that we celebrate that you are alive. You're alive, and that makes all the difference. That's what makes us Christians, followers of you, that you are alive. Settle us in right here on Summit Bridge Road, those of us who are joining us online, remove any distractions so that we can kind of get the full impact of your word found in Scripture. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, and everybody agreed and said,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And so we're going to start by sharing this Easter story. It's found in Luke's Gospel. That's what we're going to use today, chapter 24, and we'll be starting with verse 1 in chapter 24. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. Then they remembered his words.
So the women came to the tomb on that first day of the week, the third day after Jesus was crucified and buried, the morning after their Sabbath, our Sunday morning, that first Easter morning. They brought spices they had prepared. See, the Jews, they don't embalm the dead. So bringing the spices was a customary burial practice to honor the dead, to cover the body, and especially to cover the scent of decay from the body. What they did not expect was to find the stone rolled away. In fact, a couple of versions say they wondered how they were going to roll the stone away as they were on their way to the tomb. They didn't expect to see it rolled, nor the body nowhere to be found. Nor did they expect to find two men in clothes that gleamed, in the terms of the words of the scripture, gleamed like lightning. Think about that. Think how bright that is, like lightning, standing there next to them. They did not expect to hear the men say to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? Why are you looking for somebody who's alive here in the tomb? He is not here. He has risen." In their sorrow, in their grief, in their horror, they had forgotten everything that Jesus had said about being delivered in the hands of sinners, to be crucified, and then to be raised on the third day. When the two men standing there said, "Remember how he told you," and then reminded them, that's when they remembered what Jesus had said.
Luke 24, verses 9 through 12. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened.
Mary Magdalene, there's a lot of Marys in Jesus' story, aren't there? Mary after Mary after Mary. Mary Magdalene, one of the Marys, and the other women shared this news with the 11 apostles. Remember, it's 11 because Judas is no longer with them. And it says, and all the others. Doesn't tell us who they are, but all the others. But Peter and the others did not believe the women. The women seemed like nonsense, Scripture tells us. Isn't that interesting? Peter and the others had seen resurrection before. They were there when Judas raised the son of the widow at Nain, written about in the 7th chapter of this same book of Luke. They were there when Jesus raised Lazarus, the brother of Mary and Martha, all close friends of Jesus. They were there just weeks before when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. They had seen Lazarus walk out of the tomb alive and well 4 days following his last breath. Thanks to Jesus, they had seen miracle after miracle after miracle, including resurrection. Now, not just on one occasion, here when they followed Jesus on his travels.
So it's interesting there on that first Easter morning, on this third day following Jesus' death, on exactly the day that Jesus said he would rise. He even gave them advanced warning so that they would not be surprised, so that they would be prepared for what was going to happen. But Scripture says that they were in disbelief. They were in disbelief when told what did happen. These men, these disciples, had been following Jesus for 3 years. They had done everything together. They had seen Jesus do all kinds of miracles, and still they were in disbelief. Peter was one of those disciples. Peter, one of my favorite characters of the Bible. He was impetuous. He was emotional. He was this ready, fire, aim kind of guy. He was so passionate. Well, he ran to the tomb. He saw those strips of linen lying there by themselves, formerly wrapped in a body. No longer the body was there. And even that evidence, the evidence that stared him right in the face, that supported what Mary Magdalene, by the way, the very first preacher who said he is risen. Oh, I just had to get that in there. Peter went away, still in disbelief, wondering to himself what had happened.
It's so easy to forget. So easy not to remember. It's so easy to lose track of things. And it's strange sometimes what we forget. You know, for me, most of the time, it's easier to remember what happened 50 years ago than to remember what I had for breakfast. Hello. You know? And even then, those events 50 years, sometimes they're kind of vague. They're kind of hazy in there. Wow. So the women who were there at the tomb that morning seemed to have forgotten what Jesus told them. On the other hand, maybe they got so caught up on the end of the events from Thursday and Friday, because they were there, they watched it right there face to face. They got so caught up on watching Jesus being ridiculed and beaten and spat on and nailed on the cross that perhaps their grief was so overwhelming they couldn't think clearly. You know, their emotions had to be stretched as they prepared spices to anoint the dead body of the one they loved, the one they'd followed, the one they believed in. Perhaps they were thinking more about what had just happened and not so much about what Jesus had shared in the days, weeks, months prior to his departure, prior to his exit, prior to his death. Perhaps they were, ever had this where you're kind of almost numb with something? You're kind of walking around kind of almost like a zombie on autopilot. You with me? Maybe they were like autopilot and not really thinking at all. Maybe just kind of going through the motions. Perhaps still in a state of shock from everything that's just happened. You know, when we experience the death of someone we love, we can relate here to those emotions and responses, you know, things just kind of all being a blur.
So let's talk about Peter again for a moment. After seeing those empty cloths, after that, like right there, he still wondered what had happened. And the thing was, this didn't come out of the blue. This shouldn't have been like, what? But, oh, wow, this is what he said. But that's not how it went. Now, I started by reading Luke 24. I want to go back to Luke chapter 9 because Jesus tells them in Luke chapter 9 what was going to happen. And he, Jesus, said to the disciples, why don't you join me in this? The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life.
So that was pretty early. What was that, Luke 9, Luke's 24 chapter. So that's pretty early in Jesus' ministry. Back about the time, you remember the story where he took some loaves and fishes and fed 5,000 men in addition to women and children? Yeah, it was back about that time. Back when he asked the disciples who the crowd said he was. And then he wondered, asked the disciples who they said he was. And Peter answered, you are God's Messiah, which is, you are the Christ, you are God's anointed one.
But then later on in the book of Luke, just before Jesus healed the sight of the blind beggar, just before his encounter with Zacchaeus, was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he, What a great story. Just before his entrance into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, which we celebrated together last Sunday, he again told his disciples what was coming. And this time it was much closer to the time that it actually happened, when it would actually come to pass. Luke 18, Jesus took the 12 aside and told them, "We are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written by the prophets about the Son of Man will be fulfilled. He will be delivered over to the Gentiles. They will mock him, insult him, and spit on him. They will flog him and kill him. On the third day, he will rise again." The disciples did not understand any of this. Its meaning was hidden from them, and they did not know what he was talking about.
It wasn't that long before Easter, as we can see from this passage, that Jesus told his disciples what was coming, told them what to expect, told them what was going to happen. Of course, there is in Luke passage where we're told that the meaning was hidden from them. Then they did not know what Jesus was talking about, although them not knowing Jesus was talking about what happened frequently in their travels with Jesus. Apparently, though, that continued on through the resurrection. Because on Easter Sunday, they sure seemed to have forgotten everything that Jesus had told them, everything they had seen in their travels with Jesus. We call this spiritual amnesia. Say that with me, spiritual amnesia.
You know, we get that spiritual amnesia too. We forget, and not just the little stuff. We forget sometimes the really big stuff, the really important stuff, actually the most critical stuff, like this. Jesus loves you. There's nothing you can do about it. He loves you whether you're good. He loves you whether you're bad. He loves you whether you're sitting here or whether you've never been here. He loves you whether you've messed up or whether you've had a really good on-point day. He loves you. That's unconditional love, not based on what you do, but based on who he is. And sometimes we forget that, because in this world, sometimes we don't feel so loved. And we gauge how we feel and our emotionalness on humans. And we forget that we have a divine, perfect Father in heaven who loves us. Sometimes we forget. Sometimes we forget that we're forgiven. You might think you have just done something so bad that God could never forgive you. That's a lie. That's the lie of the enemy. All we need to do is come to God and say, come to Jesus and say, forgive me, with an earnest heart. And we are forgiven. Sometimes we forget that. That's because we see God with our human lens, our thoughts, and we think, we try to personify God in like us. God is other than us. God is not us. And we have spiritual amnesia because we forget that he is the perfect Father who loves us unconditionally.
Mm. Spiritual amnesia, we sometimes forget what we're told in the book of Genesis. I think it's in chapter 1, verse 27, that each and every one of us is created in God's image. So each of us has the spark of the divine in us. So what does that mean? Well, that means we have the capability to be creative. Also means we have the capability to love and to forgive. We have the capacity for self-sacrifice, for wanting what is best for others ahead of what's best for ourselves. We have the capacity to be generous, to be giving, to share. We have the capacity to be other-centered, putting God and those around us ahead of ourselves. We have the capacity to be in community, just like we are here this morning. As God is in community, we call that the Trinity. Three distinct persons yet one God. You know, we have all these capacities by being created in God's image. Our challenge is sometimes we forget. Spiritual amnesia. Say it with me. Spiritual amnesia.
Perhaps our greatest spiritual amnesia is when we forget the one simple, undeniable truth, which is why we're here today. Jesus Christ was laid in the tomb. He was crucified. He was dead. He was put in a tomb. He was dead for 3 days. And on that Easter morning, he was not there. His body was not stolen. He was resurrected. He stood among his disciples. He was there in the garden. He greeted people. He is alive. Jesus is a promise keeper. He is a way maker. He will never leave us. He will never turn his back on us. He will never forget you, ever, ever. You matter to God. You matter to God. You are his creation. God doesn't make any junk. You matter to God. God has plans to prosper you, to give you hope and a future. He will strengthen us when we're weak. He will uphold us when we're tired. His love never fails. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is the faithfulness of God in every way in our lives.
Jesus and Jesus alone is our salvation. He's our saving grace. He is our redeemer. There's nothing we can do that saves us. It's already been done. Jesus done it. We're not saved because we're worthy. We're saved because Christ is worthy. We're not saved because we're perfect. Oh, my goodness. But we're saved because Jesus is. The perfect, unblemished sacrifice offered up for you and me, pure and simple. He died on the cross, took our sins to hell for 3 days, resurrected from the dead on Easter morning, and lives through eternity sitting at the right hand of God the Father. Amen. And so in three words, all this points to what we've been talking about for the last 2 months. Jesus is enough. Say it with me.
Jesus is enough. And so just as his followers had spiritual amnesia that first Easter, we get it too. They forgot. We do too, sometimes. But here's the thing. Once they saw him, once they saw his resurrected body, once they had breakfast on the beach with him, once they had seen him in multiple appearances, they believed. And they never felt alone again. They saw Jesus face to face and they remembered and they knew. That happens to us too. When we meet Jesus, we are forever changed. Something inside, our heart changes. It's like this spiritual surgery that happens. And then that new life that we receive in Christ determines what we think, how we act, how we do our lives, how we interact with each other, what becomes important, what no longer is important, our priorities shift, our values shift. We are changed. Have you seen Jesus, my Lord? I do right now as we gather together to celebrate the thing that makes us Christ followers, that he conquered death itself and he is alive. Now, I know that we have these times in our lives that we wonder if we're going to make it through, right? And you might be in that right now. God will carry you through. That's a promise. God will never turn God's back on you. That's a promise. And we have each other. God made us, made it important that we are in community together. We meet together on Sundays and other times through the week. We meet together in small groups. We meet together in service with one another so that we can carry one another's burdens. That's how God has it designed. We can cheer each other on. We can pray for one another and remind each other when we have that spiritual amnesia that God is there. That you, I, we are children of the Most High God.
And so it's Easter morning and we say, hallelujah!
Hallelujah.
Say it with me. Hallelujah. He is risen, he is risen, he is risen indeed. You know, on that first Easter, Jesus came back from the dead, fulfilling all the prophecies and promises that he had shared and had been shared about him over the years, over the centuries. Here's the thing. If we can believe that he resurrected, and we do, that's why we're here this morning. If we can believe that, if we can believe he came back from the dead on that first Easter morning, then we can surely believe and never forget those three words. Jesus is enough. Jesus is enough. Jesus is enough. Don't ever let spiritual amnesia get in the way of remembering this very important concept. Jesus is enough. Now that's some awfully good news, isn't it? Hallelujah. He is risen. Jesus is enough. Let's believe it. Let's live it. Let's pray. Most holy God, sometimes we get that spiritual amnesia. Sometimes we forget. Sometimes we fail to remember who you are, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Sometimes we forget that it's not about us. It's all about you. Sometimes we forget there's nothing more we can do because Jesus, through him, it's already been done. And we sometimes forget Jesus is enough. Lord, please help us to never forget. Please help us to never forget that Jesus is enough. All those gathered said, amen.
Thank you for listening to the message from Connection Community Church. For more information and to find out more about our ministries, you can visit us on our website at justshowup.church. You can also call our church offices at 302-378-7692. Thanks again for listening. Connection Community Church, connecting people with Jesus and the new life he offers.